It was a holy night because the eternal Son of God came down from heaven to be the Savior of men. It was a silent night because no one on earth knew what was happening. It was a holy night as the angels sang glory to God in the highest, and the shepherds glorified and praised God for all the things they had heard and seen. It was a silent night as those who heard the reports of the shepherds wondered at those things which were told them, but no one besides the shepherds went to see the things that had come to pass. It was a holy night because the pure, sinless, eternal Son of God had come to earth and become a man. It was a silent night because in that very moment of his incarnation, the Son of God took his first step toward the cross of Calvary. He knew who he was. He knew why he had come. He knew what was ahead of him on this earth he had created. He knew. And he came just the same. He came not for himself. He came for us. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Thank you. Christ was born just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading. O'er the place where he lay fell a shadow cold and gray of a cross that would humble a king. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. Jesus knew when he came he would suffer in shame. He could feel every pain and sorrow. He could feel, but he left paradise. With his blood he paid the price. My redemption to Jesus I owe. From his throne Jesus came, laid aside heaven's fame, in exchange for the cross of Calvary. For my gain, suffered loss, for my sin, he bore the cross. He was wounded, and I was set free. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. Dearest Lord, evermore, may thy cross I adore as I follow the path to Calvary. Of thy death I partake, my ambition I forsake, all my will I surrender to thee. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Many years later, as a man, Jesus would say to the Father in heaven, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Yes. Before the world was, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, shared the same glory with God the Father. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He is the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person, and upholds all things by the word of his power. Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven." And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Joyfully, joyfully we should adore him.
Oh,
When we gaze upon our Savior in amazement, our eyes must not rest solely on the manger. For the manger is merely a harbinger, a signpost, a pointer, an indicator of what is to come. The manger is a harbinger of the cross. The eternal Son came down from his splendor and was born to die. Jesus said, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. He said again, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And again, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And once again, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. What will be our response? Will we believe in him? Will we trust him? Will we joyfully adore him? Will we serve him for all he has done for us?
Thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to
Please turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. When Jesus rebuked the wind and the raging of the water on the Sea of Galilee, the disciples were so amazed, they said one to another, "What manner of man is this?" If Jesus had been merely a man who aspired to become God, men could have understood this, for many have done that. But Jesus is God who had become a man. And when he did, he retained both identities, God and man. Truly, great is the mystery of godliness. Because Jesus is not just a manner of man. Jesus is God and man together in one person. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born." That is telling us about his humanity. "And unto us a son is given." And that is telling us about his deity. Would you go over to chapter 7 and verse 14? Where it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, a virgin conceiving and bearing a son is very directly related to Jesus' humanity. But when he is called Emmanuel, we know from Matthew chapter 1 that the meaning of that name is God with us. So once again, we have both his humanity and his deity together. Would you go to Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10? "And in that day there shall be a root out of Jesse." Now, Jesse was the father of David. David was the king in Israel. The Messiah is called the son of David, coming from that line. And being a root of Jesse refers to his humanity. But go to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 9, God addressing the nation of Israel says, "O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." In the book of Isaiah, we see clearly both Christ's humanity and his deity. Go to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. How many times have we read this passage of Scripture, and yet it seems to never wear out, never get old? It's fresh every time we look at it again. Here are the shepherds in verse 8, keeping watch over their flock by night. And in verse 9, the angel of the Lord coming upon them. What an amazing sight that must have been on a still, quiet, silent night. Just watching the sheep as they sleep. And suddenly the brightness of the very glory of God. But the message in verse 12, "This shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger."
the shepherds, are pointed out to us in Scripture to point to Christ's humanity. Indeed, when the angels are gone, they came with haste in verse 16, and they found Mary, and they found Joseph, and they found a human baby lying in a manger. Verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. But later, some others would come to visit. Matthew chapter 2. We put them together in the Christmas story. Of course, the wise men never came to the manger scene. It was a couple of years later. And it tells us in Matthew chapter 2 that when the wise men came, Jesus was dwelling in a house. Still in Bethlehem. But while the shepherds are noted to us in the Scripture for the sake of pointing out Christ's humanity, the wise men come to make note of his deity. They come to Jerusalem in verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Well, I know that people could point out that, well, many times kings were worshipped, but many times kings were looked at as deities as well. The only thing is, there was only one king and is only one king, whoever really is a god. Would these wise men have known that? Of course they would have. They saw his star. They came to worship him because they knew. They understood. And so, verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and when they were come into the house, see, no longer in the manger, he's in a house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. They knew. They presented some very expensive gifts, each of them with significance related to Christ's ministry here on this earth. But they worshipped him. Why do we have the shepherds? Why do we have the wise men? To tell us about the two parts, the two natures of Christ's person. The shepherds to point out his humanity, the wise men to point out his deity. Christ's preexistence acknowledges that he is much more than just a man. Would you go to John chapter 8 and verse 58? I think at times it must have been rather humorous, at least in our kind of sense of humor, to be with Jesus and to see his interaction with the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests. He says in verse 54, if you will look there, please, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him." Wouldn't you like to see their faces when he says something so direct like that? "But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Now this really puzzled the Jews in verse 57. "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. You see, we call him Jesus Christ because he is both man and God. As Christ, he is the great I am, the creator and Lord of all, the eternal Son of God. As Jesus, he is the virgin-born, pure and holy and sinless Son of Man. He needed his deity to have power. He needed his humanity to have the means to die and to pay for man's sin. An interesting quotation from 1100 A.D. That goes back a little ways. Not many of us remember those days. 1100 A.D. A man named Anselm, he said this, The incarnation was necessary because God could not die and man could not atone for sins. I had to think about that one for a little bit, and so I've raised it like this. Jesus Christ as God became man, and as man, he could die. God can't die. God doesn't die. He's not subject to death. So he became a man so that he could die. But as God, he could do more than just die. And he could do more than just atone for sins. He could actually redeem man from sin altogether. Evangelist David Ring said, He met all the foes of man and conquered them. He met all the woes of man and suffered them. He saw all of the sins of man and paid for them. He knows all the hearts of sinful men and loves them. So will you believe in him? Have you ever yet trusted him? The God-man, the one who could die in our place, and at the very same time redeem us from sin and death and hell. What an amazing thing. Jesus Christ was able to do and did so successfully. If you have never yet received him as your Savior, will you do that today? It's as simple as that. Jesus did everything that needs to be done. He did everything for us that we could not do for ourselves. There isn't anything for us to do but simply trust. Trust that what he did was enough. Enough to satisfy God the Father, who sits upon the throne of sovereignty in heaven. Enough to satisfy him regarding our sin. Enough to release us from the bondage of death and hell. Enough. Just trust. Fall before him. And declare, I know I am a sinner. I know I cannot save myself. I know and believe with all my heart that Jesus did everything that needs to be done to take care of this problem. I trust Jesus. I trust his sacrifice on the cross. I trust that God the Father is satisfied. And I receive Christ as my Savior. As simple as that. Will you believe in him today? Will you trust him today? Will you receive him as your Savior? And if you have already, will you love him with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength? Will you witness for him? And will you tell others what he has done for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this very moment, if there is anyone in this room that has not yet received Christ as Savior, may they hear the truth, and in hearing, believe it, and in believing, trust it. May today be the day of salvation for many in this world. Thank you so very much for all that Christ has done. We wish for more profound words to use to express our gratefulness. But we know that you accept the simplicity of our hearts, and we're grateful. We say thank you because we mean it. We are so very, very grateful. May you be pleased with the gratefulness of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.